Do it again. No more missing layups. I'm sick of missed layups. This ain't 7th, 8th grade.
There was one year here, they averaged getting beat 40 points a game.
In doing so, Davey Rothbart and Andrew Cohn discovered layers and layers of compelling stories, and they've packed it all into a powerful documentary, Medora, which premiered at the South by Southwest Film Festival and is now being screened all around Michigan. Davey Rothbart and Andrew Cohn, welcome to Stateside.
Thanks so much. Hey, thanks for having us.
Davey, what was it about when you read the story of that long losing streak of the Medora Hornets that compelled you and Andrew to actually move there and undertake this documentary?
Yeah, you know, we went down there the next day and got to meet some of the coaches and the players and just walk around this tiny town, and it just had this eerie stillness. And, you know, we're from Ann Arbor, and you drive 20 minutes outside of Ann Arbor, you know, you see towns like Medora, Indiana. And we, just getting to meet some of the players, we sensed that there were some really important stories to be told, not just about their own individual struggles, but also about the plight of some of these small towns that were once, you know, places of glory and, you know, really great towns that were had a great life, but also ones that now, you know, when the factories shut down, really become a place of struggle.
Andrew, give us a sense. How far had things fallen for Medora since the parents and the grandparents of those boys went to Medora High School?
Yeah, well, like Davey alluded to, you know, Medora, like a lot of small towns, you know, it used to be a farming community, a nice farming community. Now if you go down to Medora, you know, it's a couple trailer parks. They're one of the few towns that still has their school, which is really important to the community, and we explore that in the film. But basically, it's just a mill. There's a bar there. There's a liquor store and a gas station, and that's pretty much it. At one point, I think there was about 2,500 people that lived there. It's dwindled to about 500 now. So, you know, people there, there's not a lot of opportunity. And so most of the people that live in the community, they work at the nearby town. So Davey and I, what we wanted to explore is, why do these people stay here? And it has to do with heritage. It has to do with a number of things. So those are some of the themes that we explored in the film.
Yeah, and do it very, very well. You know, it's interesting, as I realized, how Medora High School, and you show us in your film, Medora, very clearly how it's surrounded by larger consolidated schools. I mean, there were 72 students at Medora High School. And that's a conversation, as you know, that's happening here in Michigan, too, as we look at all the districts and schools that are struggling and should we consolidate. Talk to us a little more about how the survival of Medora High School and that identity symbolizes the survival of the town itself.
Yeah, well, Medora, this is Andrew. Medora, you know, like you said, there's 72 kids in the whole school. Just to give you an idea, they have 12 kids in their graduating class. So this is a public high school. So for the towns like Medora, the school is really a huge sense of identity. And a lot of the kids that go to Medora, in fact, a couple of the kids that transferred into Medora that are featured in the film, they purposely transferred into the school because they wanted a smaller school. And I think that's really appealing to a lot of families and a lot of kids that don't want to go to a huge consolidated high school. You know, the individual attention that you get, the sense of community, in Medora is, I think, appealing to a lot of people. And we wanted to talk about the value of that and what happens when towns like Medora start to fade off the map.
And when one of the townspeople that you talked to even said, if that school goes away, this town goes away. So it really does anchor the town, doesn't it?
Yeah, this is Davey. And you absolutely see that, because what happens is, you know, people start begin to move away to some of the other neighboring towns, and once the factories shut down and there's less jobs, and when the school goes, that's really all that's tying them to these towns. So when the school goes, it really becomes like a ghost town, and these towns disappear.
If you just joined us, this is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty, talking with Ann Arbor filmmakers Davey Rothbart and Andrew Cohn. Their feature-length documentary, Medora, takes us to a tiny, struggling Indiana town where the tiny, struggling boys' high school basketball team is trying to get just one win after a long losing streak. And, Davey, your cameras were there for some incredibly sensitive and intimate and often embarrassing moments. For instance, you're right there when one boy goes to pick up his mom after yet another rehab session. She's battling with alcoholism. And it absolutely amazed me that she didn't say, get that camera out of here.
You know, the people of Medora were incredibly generous and open with us. And we found that, you know, when you approach people with genuine kindness, curiosity, compassion. You know, people really are willing to open themselves to you and share their stories. You know, a lot of people don't often get asked for their opinions of the world and their ideas about things. And you know, when you're actually really genuinely interested, people are eager to have someone listen to them. And so the film is incredibly raw and personal and emotional at times. And really, it's the story of these four boys in particular, and you learn their individual struggles, whether it's Rusty Rogers, who you mentioned, whose mom has battled substance abuse, and, you know, he's, you know, homeless. He's living in his car when we first met him and moved in with the player, one of his friends, one of his teammates' families. And you know, another player is trying to get into college, and no one in his family has graduated high school.
He battles a learning disability, doesn't
absolutely,
he,
absolutely.
On top of that.
But what was amazing is the uplift and hopefulness that we were left with as we saw some of these boys transform and just really great things happen for them over the course of this year, kind of against all odds.
Mm-hmm.
These kids really are the ultimate underdogs, and their team's an underdog, but even with the challenges they face in their home life. So to see such triumphant things happen was really thrilling to us.
But there had to be, at those very, very early days of shooting, moments where you have these kids looking at you like, who are you? How long did it take to crack the ice?
It was, you know, every player or coach was different. You know, there were some players who were instantly opening up to us. You know, Robbie Armstrong, who was a really boisterous kid. You know, he was just like, come on in, here's my life, I'll tell you whatever you want. You know, there were other kids who were hesitant, and rightfully so. You know, I think that trust that you earn, you have to do it over time. It's not something that comes overnight. You know, I don't think you can just walk into a community and expect people to all people to just open up to you. But like Davey said, you know, if you're genuine, I think once they get to know you, and I think it's about time too. You know, Davey and I, we moved down there and really became part of the community. And so we didn't, you know, go back. I live in New York. He lives in Los Angeles. We didn't go back on the weekends. It wasn't like we were popping in and out. We were a constant presence in their lives. In a way, became friends. And so I think that's how you get that raw and those intimate moments, is by putting in the time and putting in the energy and really getting to know the kids. And so they trust you.
I want to play a clip from your film. We see a lot of a boy named Dylan. And Dylan has never met his father, even though his siblings had met their fathers. And at one point in your film, he has gotten his father's number, and he works up enough guts to make this phone call.
Hey, this is Dylan McSully. You might not know me, but I'm your son with Shannon Arnold. Well, it used to be Shannon McSully. And just would like to see you sometime and stuff. But I'll be in Orleans Friday. If you would like to come, I'm playing basketball with Medora High School.
Davey, how did you become especially close to Dylan during the year that you lived in Medora and made this film?
Yeah, you know, there were so many players to cover. Andrew and I kind of, amongst ourselves, along with some of our other crew members, Rachel Dengiz, Peter Likes, Mike Smith, all Michigan filmmakers went to Medora with us, friends of ours, and we kind of each assigned ourselves a couple of players. So mine were Dylan McSully and Rusty Rogers. And Dylan is just this great kid. He's, you know, he's very spiritual, a churchgoer. He was part of the church choir. Also, a really mischievous kid and you know, had the hormonal instincts of any teenage boy.
Quite,
you know,
a ladies' man.
Girl crazy.
Yeah.
But we just, you know, we would hang out two or three times a week. We'd sit in his living room watching basketball games, talking about life. And We got so close, you know, and that relationship of a documentary filmmaker to the subject, it really expands beyond just being the guy with the camera and him just sitting there, you know, talking to me. We became close friends, and I, you know, tried to counsel him about things in his life, and honestly, he gave me counsel about things in my life. It became a true friendship.
Well, you know, it's interesting when one approaches. If I was in my TV reporter days and I would go in with a crew and shoot a story, you are to maintain journalistic objectivity. You are not taking a side. You are there to be a conduit to tell their story. But in what you're doing as documentary filmmakers, You can get closer. You can get relationships and attachments, and that doesn't skew what you're making.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I don't think so. I think, you know, we had great affection and respect for the people we spent time with in Medora, and I mean, we fell in love with these kids. Anyone that sees the movie, you know, we're doing these special screenings in Michigan, and some of the kids are actually going to be there from the film, and anyone that sees the movie is going to fall in love with these kids too. So, you know, it was impossible not to get close to them, and not just the kids, but their families. You know, Rusty's mom, we mentioned, who mm-hmm. was going in, you know, coming in and out of alcohol rehab, but just such a strong woman who had been through so much herself, and you develop this profound respect for people who are gritty and are fighting through these significant challenges, but with the heavy helpings of resolve.
But when you pack up and head to L.A. to start editing your film, does the relationship continue, or did that kind of hurt the kids? Did they understand what was going on?
I think it was strange, because we had grown so close to some of these kids that after, you know, when we were done filming, after being there for a year, we left. And the thing is, we're in the editing suite. We're watching this footage. So we're still spending as much or more time with them,
yeah.
you know, watching footage, all the footage that we'd collected, 600 hours of footage. We're in there every day watching, still hanging out with these kids. But I think for them it was a little jarring that we just left and we're no longer such a regular presence in their life. We did continue to return to Medora, spend time with them, film more. And so I do think that, you know, that closeness remained and the transition worked out. But it is interesting when you get so close to somebody. What's great now is being on the road. We're on the road right now with a couple of these kids and getting to share, you know, after knowing their friends and family so intimately, it's a great joy for us to travel around the country with them, for them to get to know our friends and family. We can't wait to bring them to Michigan. For them to, you know, meet
yeah.
the people that we grew up with is just really special.
I'm speaking with filmmakers Davey Rothbart and Andrew Cohn about their powerful documentary, Medora, which premiered at the South by Southwest Film Festival and is now being screened all around Michigan, looking at a tiny town in southern Indiana and their boys' high school basketball team struggling to get just one win. And another person who really, really grabbed me in your film is the Hornets coach. Loss after loss, this guy hangs
yeah.
in there and he keeps working with these boys. And we'll take a listen here how he works with them, because he does not give up.
Proud of the way you guys worked all year in practice.
We've been hard on you. I've yelled at you. You know, we've been through tough times, but we've all stuck together. We've all been a family like we talked about.
And I don't know if you see it, but I sure do, as you guys have improved a ton. You have.
I know that losing streak's been hanging over your heads all year. We just need to play a little bit harder, a little bit smarter, and I think
we can do it. Show all this big crowd how hard you guys work, how much heart you have, and how good Medora is going to be. Good job.
Now, a lot of us watching might say, you know, Coach Gilbert has a demanding day job. We see what he does, and it would be so easy for him to go, you know what, I am done. What keeps Coach Gilbert there game after game?
You know, Coach Gilbert comes from a long line of coaches, and it was really interesting to watch him come into Medora. That was his first year coaching at Medora. So I think he was a little bit taken back by the losing, the culture of losing. It was really hard for him. But these coaches, to me, are some of the real heroes in the movie.
Mm-hmm.
You know, these are guys that work during the day. They drive a long ways to get out to Medora. And for a lot of the kids, they are the only constant male presence in their life. And so when you see Coach Gilbert and you see him getting on them throughout the movie, it's because he cares. And, you know, I played high school sports. It's, you know, coaches yell, and they do it because they care, because they want the most out of you, you know. And to Coach Gilbert's credit, I've had a lot of people come up to me after the film and say, man, that coach, he is tough, you know, on those kids. But, you know, it would have been easy for him to go sit back and go, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, we're gonna go 0-22 again. Well, I'll just put in whoever wants to play and not care. But you can see how invested he was. And I think that's what he's there to do. And I just, you know, with Coach Gilbert, I think all you can ask from a documentary subject is for them to be themselves.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he was. He was extremely candid. He didn't put it on for the cameras. And that's all you can ask. I just thought he and the other coaches are just great role models, and I think in a lot of ways, you know, heroes in this film.
You guys managed to pull in a couple of very big names as producers, actors Steve Buscemi and Stanley Tucci, both of whom are noted for the caliber of their work. How and why did they choose to become involved with Medora?
Sure. Well, Rachel Odenga is our producer. She's a friend of ours who grew up in Ann Arbor with us. She's been working in New York, helping to run Olive Productions, which is Steve Buscemi's and Stanley Tucci's production company. So from a very early stage, even when we were in Indiana, she'd be sharing footage with them. And they fell in love with the project, and the footage moved them and resonated with them. So they've been incredibly supportive throughout the project, you know, putting their names on it and just, you know, helping us spread word about the project. Last week we were in New York, and we had our big premiere, Steve Buscemi. It was a joy for him to finally. He was so excited to meet a couple of the players, Dylan and Rusty, who had come out to New York for those screenings. It was fascinating to see. He was the one, like, starstruck. Wow. When he met Dylan and Rusty. And they presented him with a Medora jersey, and he just looked so proud to hold that up and have that.
You know, your film is really challenging in the way that it points out to anyone who watches that poverty is not confined to big cities like Detroit, which, of course, is grabbing so many headlines, but poverty is in small towns all across America. Do you see towns like Medora making it another 20, 30 years?
You know, yeah, absolutely. The rural poverty that we observed is so resonant with poverty I've seen in inner cities in the past. And the struggles, you know, many of the struggles that arise in a town like Medora are someone similar to what you see in Detroit and Washington, D.C., where I spent some time. You know, these towns are amazing. They really have, as someone says in the film, they have been the fiber of America. What the future holds for them, you know, we can't say. Medora, it really is, there's hundreds if not thousands of towns across the country that are facing the same challenges that Medora is facing. They're hardworking people. They believe in the value of community. If someone falls down, everyone else is there to pick them up. We just wanted to ask that question, what is lost when towns like Medora disappear?
Andrew Cohn, Davey Rothbart, co-directors of Medora. Fabulous, fabulous documentary, and it really was a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you so much for being with us on Stateside.
Thank you, Cindy. Thank you.